A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
What's good, internet? It is March 24th? What day is it?
It's March 24th, Friday, March 24th. What's good is not our microphones.
Not our microphones.
But now they're great.
Not our Twitch setup. Not our, good is... Merriam-Webster
good is
defines good.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 50 of Waypoint Radio, which
That's
is why
good.
It's going to be a short one. I'm exhausted. I was here until midnight last night.
You sure were.
And then I had to get up for a 9 a.m. meeting.
You sure did.
Here, why were you at the office till midnight?
We did a big esports thing last night.
Oh.
Vice, our friends at Vice World of Sports, which is a TV show in Viceland, did an episode. They're doing a whole season on rivalry. And so they did an episode on the rivalry between Afromu and Doublelift, who used to be teammates on CLG,
A
League of Legends team. I mean, CLG is like a big esports like brand
Canadian
that has a bunch
League
of separate
of games.
The Canadian League of Games, no, Counter Logic Gaming.
Okay, cool.
And then Doublelift and Afro ended up having some beef and then bouncing, and then like it's like definitely one of those stories of like they both, there's a lot of ways to tell that story. There's the one that's like, oh, they're the same, they're too similar, and that's what their beef is, the root of their beef. There's the other version of it, which is that one of them had parents who like understands esports and like cheers him on, and the other one has parents who don't really understand.
Like, why couldn't you be in the chess club?
Exactly. Or why couldn't you just be like a normal kid? And so there's a little bit of
that going on.
But it's a great episode. You can watch that. I think it's on YouTube now.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be.
If you go to the Vice World of Sports YouTube or the Vice Sports or Vice Land.
And you had Afromu with you.
We had Afromu on last night. We chatted for a while. We showed the episode. And then we spoke with the producers, Rob and I. Our very own Rob Zachney.
Our very own.
Spoke with Evan and Alianka, who were the two producers on the project.
Nice.
It was cool. So I was here until midnight, though, because it turns out that esports athletes...
They have weird hours, right?
They scrim...
Yeah.
Which means scrimmage.
Scrimmage.
For like 12 hours a day from like 10 to 10 or something. And so from like 7 to 7. And so it was like 7:30 was when we got him. 7:30 Pacific time.
Pacific, yeah.
And so that was 10:30 our time. So one of those work nights. And so I was like, what if we just do like a short episode today, even though it's episode 50? We'll have to make it up in episode 100.
But we can make it short and sweet, though.
We can't, because we picked a topic that is the opposite of sweet, Danielle.
Yeah, but people like this stuff. It's sweet. It's sweet for people to hear the retribution towards games that maybe get a little too much
love. You
sound
like a Conan character. Like, retribution is the sweetest
thing. I don't
know
if you knew this, but I am a Conan character.
I would believe it.
I am Danielle the Conqueror, the Skull Crusher.
I can see that.
The Crusher of Skulls.
Both of those things.
I am both of those. Beautiful things. But then I put them back together. You know, it's part of my shtick.
I gotcha. You're a Conan character. You're more of a Conan character than a Conan character.
I really am. Yeah. Not going to lie.
All right. So what's our topic today?
Also,
Patrick and Danielle are here with me as always. Blah, 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 blah. Live from Lobby 1.
Yeah, live from Lobby 1. So we got a really great topic from an email. I think he may have wanted to remain anonymous.
Okay.
But it was from a young man.
Uh-huh.
Introduced himself as a young man who... does not like The Witcher 3.
Uh-huh.
And based
on
this...
Can I just read this email?
I think I'm not gonna say his name. But yeah.
Sup begins this
It's a
person.
Good email.
I was hoping that was his name.
Sup.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit something I've never told anyone before. Before anyone gets mad at me, just know that I'm 16. So don't be a dick about it.
Yep.
Because otherwise you're technically being a dick to a child.
Don't want that.
I was listening to your episode from Monday, March 20th, and a recurring topic seemed to be a popular opinion around certain games, franchises, etc. Someone submitted a question asking if there were games that get a lot of shit from their communities, but that we liked, right?
Yes.
As you talked about this, I started to wonder about thoughts I have on a game that goes against the popular opinion, which brought me to a secret I don't want to admit. I hated The Witcher 3. I don't know why. I don't know what about it rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why everyone else saw that. I can't. But it was easily one of the worst games I've ever played, and I've played through the...
Oh, come on!
Come on,
I was with you for a moment there.
And I've played through the entire thing, hoping that it would all suddenly click for me, and I would love it like I'm supposed to. About 3 months after I finished it, I tried going back and replaying it, but I've yet to find a single moment of that game that I don't regret sitting through. I could go on forever, but I don't want to take up too much of your time making you read this. Ultimately, my question is simple. Are there any games or franchises that seemingly everyone but you loves, but that you can't stand? And how do you deal with that? Do you argue your side or just kind of stay quiet about it? If you don't have any examples like this, can you just make one up so I don't feel like a jackass for saying my whole Witcher thing?
Oh, sup.
Thanks, sup.
First of all, I want to say...
Thanks,
Sup. He gave The Witcher 3 a real chance.
I like that's not the somebody best who chance only, you could theoretically give
only
it.
Only played like 5 minutes and was like, I hate this shit. Like, this person, he gave it a shot.
Yep.
He definitely tried. So, sure. You know.
So, thank you, Sup.
Thank you, Sup. All the power to you. I hope high school's going well. I have two. I don't know how many you have, Austin. I don't know how many you have, Patrick. But I have two, and I'm just opening it up with that I have two.
All of them.
Right, you're pretty much every game ever.
That's correct. The thing about me is I haven't reviewed a lot of games, so I think people don't... So I present as like a fairly positive dude, mm-hmm. And I am a generally positive dude. Like, as always, all of my like criticality and negative feeling is built on the back of the belief that we could be doing better.
Yes, which is a very good place to come from, I think.
Totally.
Yeah.
The thing is that also means that most things are things I don't like very much.
Right.
And so, like, actually, if you do look at my reviews, you'll see, like, lots of sixes and lots of fives, which I like using the middle of the, like, 1 to 10 sphere. But I don't know if anything specific sticks out. But come back to me, and I'll see if there's, like, a specific thing. The real thing to think about, though, is, like, if I had to review 90% of games, they would probably get between a 6 and a 7. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very hard for something to get an 8 or above for me.
That's fair.
In my head, even when I'm playing a thing. Patrick, how about you?
I was trying to think through this. I think I wrote down. So I came up with the example that sticks in my head from the last like 10, 15 years is Metal Gear Solid 4.
Metal Gear
a game
Solid
that I think
4.
It is atrocious. Mm-hmm. It is bad. Mm-hmm. It is not good. The story is not. Stop telling it like 30 hours before you started. Specifically, I've talked about this before. I think Metal Gear 1 and 3 are brilliant, and I think Metal Gear 2 and 4 are garbage. And those games are connected in terms of how they do storytelling in a way that I don't think is surprising that if you enjoyed 1 that you'd enjoy 3, and that if you didn't enjoy 2, you... Austin is just like throwing things around.
It's the Star Trek system.
Which is every other.
Every other. I mean, it's opposite of what Star Trek is, the Star Trek movies, because he's saying 2 and 4 are the
He's wrong, that's okay.
And 1 and 3 are the, yeah, so.
I respect that. That's right. Yeah. But here's the actual problem with this. The thing that I want to get to about this dude's question, about Sup's question, is that, is it the case that everyone loves the thing except for you?
I mean, that's
no,
never actually
definitely not.
Or you know what I mean? Like, but I don't even just mean that literally. I do mean that figuratively, in that... I think right. There really is a community of haters of most things that do succeed, that do very well. And I say that because I have the same arguments lobbed at me from a billion different people who are quoting the same source that they don't necessarily think that they're quoting often about things I like. Or that I do the same thing to somebody else, right? Which is just like when somebody else – like what's the thing – I'm trying to now think of a thing that's like super popular that I've been down on in the past –
like out of any game, or
yeah.
Out of
like, what's
in
one?
The
what's one of you? What's the one that comes to mind for you?
For me, it's been like professional wrestling.
No, but what's the game?
Oh, my games. Oh, yeah. Well, Shadow of Mordor for me
sure.
is one of the absolute tops. I acknowledge that.
Right.
I'm sure there are people who've disliked this game, but it was overwhelmingly critically well received, and it was something that it felt like with Twitter conversations, with stuff I read on Reddit, with mm-hmm.
like,
sort of the
people
general
like it.
Sway. Was positive for that game, and it did less than nothing for me. Which I think it's just a personal taste thing, which is fine.
Less than nothing was like it.
It really did.
I think it's good to admit that.
Yeah,
I think it's good to be able to do that and like get that out there. What was it specifically that hung up? Was a hang up for you?
For me,
we're not even a hang-up. Why didn't it succeed at like entertaining you even at the basis level?
I think in general, if a game makes me tired as opposed to making me excited, that is my sort of number one. If a game makes me angry, I'm probably going to be interested in it. That's how I felt about The Witness.
Sure.
This, instead of anger, it was just tired.
Just boredom.
I was in that world. It looked boring and drab and gross. I'm not the biggest high fantasy fan in general, which is part of why The Witcher being so good
helps
me.
You and me
it's
both.
It's just not my thing.
And yet, you both love The Witcher, right?
Yes. I mean, The Witcher is that level above.
It's like, generally speaking, high fantasy has to get over a pretty high bar for me to get in. Like, Skyrim managed to do that, although that had less to do with the high fantasy than it was, like, my first real interaction with, like, that deep into a Bethesda game. Yeah. And generally high fantasy or Lord of the Rings. And I like Lord of the Rings, but it's not like a subgenre or aesthetic or setting that like really does
like,
anything.
You don't,
for
when
me.
You see a shield and like armor, nothing about you goes like, oh man.
Yeah.
Which no, like, but if you took that shield and armor and put it in space,
right. Exactly.
Then we're talking.
Right. Exactly.
Which is
if you just put dragons in space,
that'd be cool.
Space dragons.
That'd
we're
be
fine.
Cool.
I'm telling you, Starfield's gonna happen. You keep watching. That's Bethesda owns that IP. They're gonna do it.
We're gonna be
space
in Starfield.
Dragons. We're gonna do it.
Oh.
I think that's like a totally allowed thing. For me, it was probably Far Cry 3, which was like,
oh sure,
which was a thing that was really. But again, like even I had my little community of people who were like, totally. Far Cry 2 is a good one.
Why
don't you like this one about the white savior?
Yeah, exactly.
I missed the last one, which is all about disempowerment. This one's all about like being a dude bro
being a
who
cool
saves
bro with his
indigenous people.
Paragliding.
Yeah.
One of the games I thought of that I wrote was I really liked Bastion a lot and could not. Like beating Transistor was one of like the slogs of my life.
I actually feel like that was pretty. People did seem to like oh yeah, I really like Bastion. Transistor was okay. Felt like the response to that for me.
Maybe I don't know. I felt like when that game came up, people were like, oh, Super Bastion did it again, and like. Or Supergiant did it again. And I love the music. I love the art. There's so many things I like. I listen to that soundtrack all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, the story and just I couldn't.
The story
I
was not.
With that game.
Amazing in that game.
I don't really like either of those games. I couldn't get through Bastion for the reason that you couldn't get through Shadow of the
Mordor.
Just tired
you out.
It just tired me out. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I get the premise here. The moment-to-moment action isn't doing it for me for some reason. I like it conceptually, and I really liked Transistor conceptually, not only like in terms of setting, but even in terms of like combining the different power sets and
really
all of
like
that
the
stuff.
Gameplay in Transistor personally.
I think
found
it was,
it interesting.
You know, I think the pacing is what threw me off on it. It's like the each fight I enjoyed, but there were too many fights between like narrative drops, which is what was the thing that I was interested in. I guess I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it was that well paced either.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
So
I like it generally, but I fully acknowledge those are totally good criticisms.
Yeah. I think the one that I'm thinking about the most right now is probably Horizon, mainly because every day some new person messages me and Patrick sometimes who likes Horizon to say like, why don't you like Horizon more? Which is
I've never said that, but I have felt in retrospect that when we talked about that game and it was just me and you talking about it, that like you. I, like, fell into the Austin Walker distortion field. I was like, maybe I don't like that game as much as I thought I did.
Listen.
And then, like, I got some distance from you, and I was like, no, I really fucking like that game.
Yep. There's a reason I like KOTOR 2 a lot, and it's because the main character has the ability to slowly sway everyone around him based on how he feels about things, or how she, canonically, she feels about things. Yeah. And, I feel some kinship there.
You're right there.
I just think Horizon is a pretty okay game. No, I think that
I really like that game. I think that game's great.
You are allowed to. That is specifically a really interesting thing right now because I see the Zelda fans and the Horizon fans doing like, no, I'm
they're
the king of the
pile. They're dancing around each other like little spiders.
And the thing is, like, they're games.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
They're doing different things and that will of course appeal to different audiences. Like and I don't mean this pejoratively, but like the the part of me that Horizon did appeal to was the part that likes Ubisoft-style games that have open worlds, that have checkboxes, that let me like have a clear path of progression, that let me go like, okay, what is the next thing I want to work on my character? What is the next loot I want to work towards? What is the next, like, how do I go up this list? How do I check off each of these powers, etc.? And then the Zelda thing was, of course, like, that appealed to the part of me that liked really good games.
I have a
That's
Zelda.
That's all I'm saying about that.
Oh, that's all you're saying about
that. Wow. Well, I'm just gonna let you. You can be aggressive all you want.
No,
Austin.
It's
that's not how you convinced me the last time. You used your words, Austin.
Yeah, but then I lost you, so I'm gonna try this other way now.
You gotta use the distortion field.
I have to use it right. Yeah, exactly.
Just emanate it.
No, I think it's. I think that is an interesting thing. And then the thing for me there is just like, here's the thing that actually happened yesterday was someone on Twitter messaged Patrick and I to say straight up like, I'm having a really good time with Mass Effect Andromeda. What's wrong with me? Like, is that allowed? And like, my dude, you're allowed
to
just like the thing that other people are dunking on.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the question is being for you two, what do you do when you're in that position? Do you do the thing where you feel like you're asking for permission? Do you do the thing where you feel like you're waving the flag for it, like holding up the banner? Or do you just like stay quiet and like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to let these people talk shit and just like enjoy the thing for myself.
Well, it's weird because we're in the positions where like we're contributing to like the larger discussion about the game.
True.
So in like for my position, it's like if I think of a game, like part of the reason like I essentially took 40 hours of Zelda, put it on pause and said, I'm going to dive deep into Nier was like, yo, motherfuckers are forgetting about this game.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go focus on Nier, and I'm going to do what I can to sort of, like, change the discussion in the direction of Nier, or at least give that game its due.
Mm-hmm.
So I have trouble being in the position that the person who wrote the letter is in, because as, like, just an anonymous person on the internet who, if they said, I like this game, like, their impact is less than what any of us three or anyone on Waypoint, anyone that's the rights about Games for a Living has in terms of, like, impacting that general discussion. But I do like that feeling that he has of like feeling on the outside of something.
Yeah.
That sucks. Like when you want to like something or something seems like something you should like and you don't and everyone else around you does like it, like that is a bummer feeling to have. Like there's no reason for him to have spent 100+ hours probably playing that
Easy.
Game in search of something that he probably figured out in the first 15, you know, if you want to be generous with giving a game its due. But I certainly, like, you know, part of the reason I fell in love with Dark Souls was, like, that feeling left out. Was like, I'm going to go find out what's up with this game. And fortunately, I got to the other side of it in a way that made me happy. But there's another version of that where you dive into it and realize, like, oh, it's just not for me, and I wish I saw what everyone else did.
Are there times when you feel like you do want to rain on the parade?
Yes.
What's an example of that? just The Witness. It's The Witness. For you.
I mean, it's if I personally feel like I've been hurt by a game. And I get, like, I obviously, like, I don't think this is a secret. I get really emotional about games. I get, if I love something, I do want to have a parade for it, especially if it's something I don't see getting what I feel like is due attention. It helps that it's
or
my
the,
job
Or the
to
other
this.
Way, which is like...
Or the other way, where it's like, this thing everybody loves, I'm just kind of like, kind of
so
sucks,
what?
Man.
Yeah.
You know? I try not to be juvenile about it. I try to actually have real criticisms put forth. Like, with The Witness, I actually think that game has a serious fucking attitude problem. Like, I think it actually is looking down on its players in a lot of places. So I feel like, oh, that's appropriate. I'm not trying to punch down at something. I'm punching at something that is punching down, in my view, basically.
Right. For me, there's definitely a bit of that stuff when it comes to, you know, the thing that ends up being tough for me is, like, I never want to take something away from somebody or a fan group or something like that.
Right.
Like, I want them to be able to enjoy their time with something. Like, that's a cool thing. But there are times when, like, well, like when we did the Horizon, like, letter series, we all had something to say about Horizon. It was a huge game. We wanted to devote a lot of editorial attention to it. On the one hand, it was cool. Like, I got the last word. I was the last person to send out a letter about it. But also, it meant, like, for 4 days straight, it was, like, people talking about, like, genuinely their experience with this game that I did not have.
Yeah.
And feeling like, oh, I just want – and, like, and everyone on the internet who the reviews, like, embargo was up, sharing those same really positive stories. And there was part of me that was like, I just want to start tweeting about this fucking game. I want to start tweeting about the negative experiences I've had, but I'm going to wait until my piece goes up to that. That is more measured than that negative hot take that I would put on Twitter. That is like, here's what I really like about it. Here's what I had problems with. Because I know that there are people out there like me who can align their interests to what my interests are and to like their taste to my tastes and are curious to see if it will line up for them. It's tough because you don't – it's – I'm not a critic who likes raining on a parade, even though I do a lot of that. That is not like my favorite thing we do.
It's not your MO. You're not doing it to rain on the parade.
I think it's my MO, but it's not an MO. It's an MO – it's like I'm a Batman villain.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm seeing it now.
Like I'm – it's like I'm the Riddler. Like, it's like I can't help it. I have to leave a clue to my own.
It's just part of what you do.
It's part of what I do.
Yeah.
But it's not like the part of what I do that I like.
Right.
I like, it's like the highest review I've ever given was for Undertale. And like, I'm never, like, I'm so thrilled I got to write that review because I was elated about it. Writing about Zelda recently, like, oh, wow, like this, I get to take the limiter off, if that makes sense, as a critic. I don't know if you two have that feeling and ever, or like, that when I'm writing positively about a game, when I write about Dark Souls 3, for instance, I had to be like very measured. Like, okay, part of me is just in love with this because it's the end of the series. I really like endings. I really like Dark Souls. I'm going to make sure that I'm not being too boisterous with my affection. I want to save that for when I really need it. Is that a thing that you two do as critics?
Or do you just go all in? Especially when you have like, especially when you have games that like speak to you in a specific way, like you know, playing like Resident Evil 7, which is like, that's a game that like in every sense, like, ticks off so many boxes that are for me that sometimes you feel like when you're sitting down to write about it or talk about it that maybe you need to like step back from those ticked boxes and be like, how does this play to other people? Like, if you're not specifically me who is into X, Y, and Z, like, this game probably plays differently. But, that's a decent thought experiment, but also, I don't know, I don't worry about that part too much because what's nice about talking about games in 2017 is that like there's no reason for you to be a generalist, and so the reason someone wants to read my review of RE7 is because like, dude, you're super into horror movies. Yeah. Like that's your angle. Like that's where I come from, and so I don't know. Like I'm aware of that, but also increasingly it's not like a thing that you have to worry about.
Yeah, I just try to be as honest as humanly possible, and often, honestly, I am really excited about something. It's not me just sitting there trying to cheerlead. It's like, no, I actually
am
so happy about this thing, or so pissed off.
I wish I could live like you. Like, this is like a genuine, this is like a genuine thing. Is that like, well, like mine are too. It's just like, you can, the thing about emotions is that it's not a volume knob.
Right.
It's
more of a torrent of
no. It's like
blood.
I think that each level of like each part of the emotion has its own volume knob. I'm really turned up in that middle area of like being blasé and being bored and being like, oh yeah, I get it. Like,
sure.
Okay, this is cool. And that's not a really fun way to live. It turns out
that would annoy me.
It's a weird thing because like, but it makes those highs super high. It makes like going to see Get Out like, oh wow. Like I've seen a lot of the movies that this production company has put out. I'm like, oh yeah, like okay, yeah. Like it was a decent like schlocky horror movie,
sure.
And then that comes out and it's like, oh wow. Like I've reserved that, and I'm not saying that's the best way to live in any way. Like, I'm not. I'm
I don't
just,
think you get to control any.
I
nobody
fucking
gets to
wish,
control any of
I us. Wish yeah, I could yeah. be so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But the thing that ends up being a bummer around that is I do the thing. So like Patrick, for you, it's like, oh wow, like horror games. I'm going to get excited about a horror game that's going to contribute to the thing. There are definitely things that I think thematically are things I should be into, and I don't end up being into them. Where it's like, oh, this new Cyberpunk game came out. Like, yeah. But you like Cyberpunk, right. Austin, or you like mechs. Like, that means you like everything with a mech in it. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm the...
If anything, you're more discerning
right,
with
I guess.
Your genre interests.
Yeah. I have to think about this. I have to figure out, is there a way for me to become more open-hearted as a... Not
open,
as a critic. As a human.
As a human.
As a human who enjoys media.
I mean, there's some fine Disney movies that would help you. With a lot of songs about opening your heart.
No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't help.
I grew up on Disney movies, Danielle. That's how I turned out like this.
I'm just saying.
I turned out like this because I was like, no, this isn't as good as Aladdin.
Too many Disney movies.
This is Aladdin. Aladdin's up here. You're down here.
So many people have said that.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hey, my cousin animated three of the gargoyles in that movie.
Which three?
I mean, there only are three main gargoyles.
Well, then why'd you say three of?
Because I thought about it for a second. I realized there weren't four. I thought there was a fourth. Maybe there was a fourth gargoyle and it got cut. I don't know.
Ooh, the fourth gargoyle. No one knows.
Hey, Hunchback of Notre Dame is a pretty good movie, actually.
I liked the music in that movie,
if I
remember correctly.
Very good. Esmeralda is a very, very interesting
You're making my point, Disney princess. This is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, you like complex storylines. It's maybe the most morally gray Disney movie.
I don't think that's true.
From that era?
Okay, got it.
It's about an activist who wants to make the world better for her people.
Yeah.
It's about a priest.
Gray bit.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not.
You know.
It has politics.
It's dunking
it has
on the church.
Yes. That was not morally gray
for
Austin of that era.
You know,
he was in Catholic school and was ready to dunk on the church, let me tell you.
Okay. I get you.
Patrick's making a face.
This took a turn. The bells.
Where am
I? The bells of Notre Dame.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
I think we're out of energy and out of microphones.
The bell tolled for me.
It had to be a short episode because someone else has to come in here and record. That's the actual truth is we're out of time because we spent a lot of time troubleshooting audio this week.
Good ending.
We'll be back on Monday. Who knows what the audio setup will be.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out somewhere.
We're going to have futuristic just pods are going to come down
it'll be like,
hover
get smart.
By our faces.
It'll be like the,
yeah, the giant
smart,
cone thing.
The cone of silence.
Yes.
And Get Smart. I Get Smart a lot.
It's a great show.
Grew up on Get Smart. Anyway, we'll be back on Monday. You can find me at Austin_Walker on Twitter. You can find Danielle.
Danielle or I.
And Patrick.
You can find me at Patrick Klobuchar. Hey, people should call your representative. They're about to vote on something.
You should
call them.
The American Healthcare Act. Go call your representative.
Give
even
them
if
your
they're
feelings.
Already. Yeah, even if it's yes or no, like whatever your politics.
Give them a call.
Go
get engaged.
Be engaged. Like, this is, be involved.
Yeah.
This is for real.
I had a great moment. I'll tell the story really quick.
Yeah,
where
please.
I was calling my representative, who is a Republican, and so I was just calling to say, hey, you know, encourage them to vote no, and then they ask for your information because they won't actually care. Like, this is also like, don't call other representatives that aren't representative. Like,
rep.
It doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he is my rep, and so he's taking out my information. You know, I asked my address, blah blah blah, and then I said my name, and he's like, wait. Patrick Klubik? Like, there was a long pause. Like, I wasn't sure how to respond. Like, he was clearly indicating that he knew
fan.
Who I was,
yeah.
But then just dropped it and was like, all right, thank you. And I was like, okay, click. I was like, I just gave you my address. Please don't be a gamer gator.
Yeah. I hope your rep doesn't dox you. Please.
I know.
Oh, God.
Please don't.
Did you talk to your rep or did you talk to one of your reps?
No, some intern that was
Patrick.
Never talked to the rep.
Why?
There's no way to talk
the
to the guy.
The intern is seriously a fan of yours. No question.
Well,
that's.
I'm gonna choose to have faith in humanity.
Okay.
We'll all choose to have faith
you
in something
faith.
Over the next couple of days. We'll see how things shake out. all right, we're gonna tune it off right now because someone is banging at the door. Shout outs to Tim Barnes, our producer. Shout outs to Dylan Coburn, also helping us do the live stream production. Shout outs to Bowen, whose song Miss You, you can listen to. It's our theme song. You can listen to it off the EP Pale Machine, waypoint.zone/BOEN. Go to waypoint.vice.com for everything we do. That's going to do it for us this week. Actually, it's not. We're going to be back in a bit and do a stream.
We'll
so
be
look
back
for
soon.
That. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.